You know, we are bombarded now continually, pretty much on every level, with the idea that essentially the natural world is in flames. We have global warming. We've got pollution. We've got landfills. We've got everything is wrong with the way humans have, in the words, I think, of one of the guys, Agent Smith in The Matrix, they are a, was it infestation? Or we are an infection that must be eliminated. And, you know, the idea that somehow humans are distinct from the natural order of the planet is, I think, a fairly easy way to justify some fairly radical reactions to the fact that we do tend to screw things up. We tend to make things worse a lot of times. But we also have a conscience. I mean, what a lot of people say that distinguishes us from the animal world is that we think about the implications of our acts, because I think we all know that we die. And so if you know you're going to die, you don't want to leave behind this idea that you were a bad person. So we don't want to make anybody angry or hurt, and at least what we want, don't want to make the planet hurt. We want to leave for our children and their children and their children a place that has not been compromised and made joyless for future generations. Now, what that means politically right now is the green movement. There's this whole group of people that have created something called the LEEDS standards. And I think that is something leadership and environment and education. But anyway, it's the LEEDS movement. It's a hard thing to remember actually what it is. But it's a bunch of standards about how much energy is contained in every single thing you use in your house and every system that you use. How much energy does that use? That means where it comes from, where it is. Well, this is a huge, almost religious thing that has overwhelmed our consciousnesses, and it basically is trying to infuse every act that we have and everything that we buy, every home that we occupy, every car that we drive. There's a sense that there's a greater reality to our footprint on this earth. Well, this is America. It's free market economy. People want to make a buck. They see a truth and they exploit it. You know, you could say that, you know, if you believe in God, you know, Jimmy Swaggart is a man of God. But it's also true that Jimmy Swaggart made a whole lot of money preaching the truth. And so there's always a economic aspect to, I'd say, emotional or moral or ethical things that we do. And in the green movement, what is the reaction that a lot of people are having is that when things are more hype than truth, greenwashing occurs. And greenwashing is derived from the word whitewashing. The idea is, how do we exploit people's guilt for them to buy things they wouldn't normally buy at a price they would not normally pay, so that when they've done that thing, they actually feel better about doing something that maybe they might feel a little guilty about? Well, in my biz, the architecture biz, there really are two ways you can go about it. One is you can be what I am, which is a kind of swamp Yankee, less energy used is always better than more energy used. Or you can be a person who gets a whole lot of education, knows a whole lot of buzzwords, and can then, if you're a developer, a builder, or an architect, you can actually take houses that are too big, too ungainly, poorly sited, and say they are green because they use flooring that has been plantation grown, or a heating system that's got a special rating, or an insulation type which is better. And I don't know if you remember this, a bunch of mansions were burned down in Seattle. They cost over $1 million a piece. And they weren't burned down by some guy trying to get an insurance settlement. They weren't burned down by a bankrupt builder trying to get out of some loans that he had. They were burned down by the Earth Liberation Front. And they were burned down because they promoted themselves as green mansions, which is sort of like jumbo shrimp. It's pretty much impossible to have a house that is larger than meets the needs of your family. It's almost impossible to have an airbag that big, to have that much material tied up in the construction of a simple physical accommodation for a family or a couple, and call itself truly green. It was marketing via greenwashing because it used either recycled, salvaged, materials or plantation-grown materials. It used high-tech engineering to fine-tune the heating system to use less energy. It did all the right moves in terms of the way they all addressed the sun. But the bottom line was they were gigantic houses. They were 2, 3, 4 times more in volume than they needed to be to house a family. You can now go to any number of catalogs and you can find products that cost 2, 3, 4 times as much. Light bulbs that we buy now, they're going to be mandated, are very controversial. Fluorescent light bulbs, they're controversial because they cost 2, 3, 10 times as much as a standard light bulb. They use a tiny fraction of the energy, but in that light bulb are toxins that have to be disposed of correctly. So what is really green? What is really green? Well, I wish I had the answer. I don't think anybody has the answer. I think the truth is what you really have to look at is, does it make common sense? Am I paying so much for something that it's so expensive that it's hiding the truth, that it actually has tied up enough human energy and effort into its marketing, into its fabrication, that you're paying such a premium for it that it can't possibly be green? It really is green washing. Beware. Beware of what people are selling you versus what they really deliver. If you drive a hybrid car at 100 miles an hour, it isn't green. If you can live in a house that's 3,000 square feet and you buy an 8,000 square foot house to live in, it's not green. If you decide to spend $4,000 to fly to Australia on a green holiday, that's not green. The carbon footprint is just too big. So don't kid yourself, boys and girls. You know what green is and what makes you feel really less guilty and spends less money.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, author, and the contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine.